Good evening, and I would like to call to order the Kirkland City Council meeting of August 7th, 2012, and this is a special meeting because we're starting at 6. Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Councilmember Sternoff.
Here.
Councilmember Walling.
Here.
Councilmember Sweet.
Here.
Mayor McBride.
Here.
Councilmember Asher.
Here.
Councilmember Nixon.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Marchione.
Here.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to item number 5. This is honors and proclamations. 5A is statement of support, employer support of the Guard and Reserve. City Manager?
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council Members. Welcome. So, the employer support of the Guard and Reserve is a Department of Defense organization and is dedicated to promoting the understanding of the National Guard and Reserve and their importance to our country. And we're lucky to have Bob DeWald, who is the State Committee Chair for Washington, and he is here to make a brief presentation and to have a joint signing of a letter of support for the Guard and Reserve.
Thank you.
Mr. DeWald.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor McBride, and all the city councilmen. It's a great honor to be before you this evening representing the employer support of the Guard and Reserve. I'm going to make a brief presentation. I know you have a very heavy agenda, and then I'd like to call upon you, Mayor McBride, and the fire chief and police chief to join me and acknowledge them for signing a statement of support. And I'll explain what that is briefly. The employer support of the Guard and Reserve is a Department of Defense organization that's total voluntary. We have 4,500 volunteers nationwide and 100 here in the state of Washington. We do a lot of things to take out the bumps in the road with our employers and military service members. The employer support of the Guard and Reserve is 40 years old this year. It was formed in 1972 when the draft ended. Our military leaders realized at that point in time that we were going to have a very different way in which to manage our military. Needless to say, no one realized how much we would depend upon members of the Guard and Reserve until 9/11. 50% of the active duty members of our armed forces are members of the Guard and Reserve. This represents a tremendous disruption for the employers and also the service members and their families. And we know that. And we represent both. And there's a lot of need out there today. And we, most of us that are volunteers with the ESGR, have served in the military, and we recognize what a tremendous honor it is to serve our country. And it's a real stretch when young men and women sign basically a promissory note to defend our country, which includes their lives. We owe it to them to welcome them back in a very supportive role and try to do our best to put these young men and women to work. It's very unfortunate that at this point in time, the enlisted unemployment rate in the lower pay grades approaches 30% of our young men and women are unemployed. We are working very hard with the U.S. Department, Chamber of Commerce, and many other organizations to put these men and women back to work. It's something that is a very patriotic duty that we feel that we need to do. And this evening I'm before you asking for your attention just for a moment while I read a statement of support that thousands of employers nationwide have signed, and certainly one in which I hope that each of you put in your respective offices and display proudly. Statement of support for the Guard and Reserve has 7 seals for all of our our branches of service. And basically it reads, "We recognize the Garden Reserve are essential to the strength of our nation and the well-being of our communities. In the highest American tradition, the patriotic men and women of the Garden Reserve serve voluntarily in an honorable and vital profession. They train to respond to their community and their country in time of need. They deserve the support of every segment of our society. If these volunteer forces are to continue to serve our nation, increased public understanding is required of the essential role of the Guard and Reserve in preserving our national security. Therefore, we joined other employers in pledging that we fully recognize, honor, and enforce the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, known as USERRA. Our managers and supervisors will have the tools they need to effectively manage those employees who serve in the Guard and Reserve. We appreciate the values, leadership, and unique skills service members bring to the workforce and will encourage opportunities to hire guardsmen, reservists, and veterans. We will continually recognize and support our country's service members and their families in peace, in crisis, and in war." At this point in time, I'd like to call Mayor McBride and the police chief and fire chief up to join me for a photo opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Is this microphone? Well, I would just like to say on behalf of the City of Kirkland, we appreciate all that you do for the men and women who are serving the country and the reserves. We're just very, very grateful, and we strive hard to do a good job with the folks that are in reserve. So we very much appreciate what you're doing. And we love plaques. We love a plaque. So thank you very much,
thank you.
Sir.
Thanks again.
Next, we will move on to item number 6, communications. This is 6B, items from the audience. And this is a time in our meeting when we hear from the public on matters which are not quasi-judicial or otherwise scheduled for public hearing. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes, and we also ask that not more than 3 people speak on, for, or against any particular subject. Now, we do have a sign-in sheet.
Thank you.
So I'll call those names first. The first is Michael Snow from our Transportation Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mayor McBride, members of the council. I'm Michael Snow, here as a representative of the Transportation Commission. I'd like to excuse our chair and our vice chair, who are both out of town, so you're left with me instead. I'm here to speak regarding the Cross Kirkland Corridor, which is on your agenda, item 10A. And just to recap, the Transportation Commission has been working on issues regarding the corridor for the past 2 years or more, basically the entire time that I've been on the commission. It's on our agenda every meeting, and we get comments from the public on a regular basis. We prepared the corridor interest statement for the city, which is included in your materials last year, and that led us up to the purchase of the section of the corridor that's within the city limits earlier this year. To help move things forward, we've been working in conjunction with the staff to move things forward on the corridor, and also working in conjunction with the park board to develop a couple of things. One is the draft scope for a master plan for the corridor, which we're presenting to you this time, and also asking at this time that the council approve the removal of the rails from the corridor and the interim gravel trail. So that would over the next year or two, as that takes place. Basically, that hopefully within that time frame, we would be able to put the master plan out to bid. Work with consultants on that, and be able to have a master plan developed with, again, input from the public, from the council, and a variety of stakeholders, in order to be able to have that. So after we have the interim trail in place, we can then have a plan for how to develop the trail on a more permanent basis. So that's...
Thank you.
I'm happy to answer any questions or...
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're three. We went from yellow to red, but thank you so much for coming tonight. We appreciate it. Next, Kathy Weber.
Good evening. I'm Kathy Weber, and I'm so delighted tonight that you get to vote on making backyard chickens legal in all parts of Kirkland. The Planning Commission and others, the Kirkland Coalition for Backyard Agriculture, have been dialoguing on best practices, and I think you have a policy in front of you to vote on that's sane and safe. Sane for the people who want to raise chickens and have their eggs, and safe and hospitable to their neighbors. And I just want you to know that the Kirkland Coalition for Backyard Agriculture and all of today's legal and illegal chicken owners in the city limits who I know of are really happy to work with and train others in the city who want to have a good experience of growing some eggs in the backyard. And I'm hoping to see a unanimous vote tonight. That's it.
Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of the sign-in sheet. Are there other members of the public that wish to address the council at this time? If not, then I'll declare this items from the audience period closed. And we will move on then to, first off, though, before we move on to item number 7, I skipped 6A, and I apologize, Council. Before we had items from the audience, we did have item number 6A announcements, and we do have an announcement. Mr. Asher is going to make that tonight.
Thank you. I just wanted to bring to mind for those that are watching across the city about an international event that's happening this next week, beginning at noon on Sunday, is the opening of the Junior Softball World Series right here in Kirkland and Everest Park. It's an international event that brings teams from all over the world. The Czech Republic is here, Puerto Rico, Indonesia had a team that qualifies, but I'm not sure if they're going to be able to make it, and all over the nation too. So it's going to be a great event. It'll go through from Sunday through the culmination the following Saturday for the winners, and it's a great thing to take some time and go up and see these young ladies play. It is great sport, and they are great athletes. Thank you.
Okay, yes?
I just want to add, that final game is going to be on ESPN. So if any of you want to be part of that, it really is a fun event. So get out there and support our girls. We're the host team.
Mrs. Sterno.
Yes, and also of importance, this weekend is Summerfest. Okay. Dave's wearing his button. I'm not. But, Saturday, if you want to have a lot of fun, some people in our community have put a lot of work into an event. First year, Summerfest, bands, food trucks, everything downtown. Junior Cadillac will be playing. It's all free. So encourage your friends, neighbors to come see how much fun Kirkland can have. So it's Saturday, and please participate.
Thank you, sir. So now we'll move on to item number 7, special presentations. This is 7A, VISTA program and volunteer recognition. City Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is bittersweet. We get to say thank you and goodbye to one of the best VISTA volunteers we've ever had, and also to celebrate, unfortunately, the end of the state's support of the VISTA volunteer program, which has done pretty remarkable things for the city of Kirkland. And here to give you a brief presentation and discussion of what we got out of the VISTA program is Helen Aarons Byington, our Deputy Fire Chief and Emergency Manager. Yeah.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for this opportunity to let you know what VISTA's been doing for our community and the emergency management for the City of Kirkland. This is Jenny Marker. She's been our VISTA member this year. We have a presentation. I'm not sure how to make it on the screen. Our VISTA member last year was Robert Reeves, and he was involved with really promoting Map Your Neighborhood, doing Map Your Neighborhood. Warming up. There it comes. Yay. So the VISTA stands for Volunteer and Service to America. They get paid in King County just a little over $1,000 a month. They're required to do a full-time job, 40 hours a week, sometimes more. They cannot work another job while they're in service. They finish a complete year, which ends for Jenny August 31st, they get a $5,000 fund that goes towards educational benefits. So either paying a student loan or for future educational benefits. And so the city receives all of that, and it costs the city $5,000 for a VISTA member. And so that's the vision, or that's VISTA. This is Emergency Management's this is Emergency Management's mission. To create a prepared community, and that's where the role of the VISTA member has really come in handy for us. The vision for VISTA is doing community empowerment, capacity building, and anti-poverty. So this VISTA was particular to having to do not direct service to the community, but had to get volunteers to do the direct service, which was different than Robert's service. They changed the program. So Jenny was not supposed to be doing direct service out in the community, but engaging and developing volunteers that could do the service. The capacity building, the other piece she had to do was create sustainability for our programs to help us to be able to continue volunteer work in emergency management when we no longer have her here. And the other piece of AmeriCorps is anti-poverty focused. And after a disaster, the ability to recover is affected by the amount someone is prepared. By targeting vulnerable population areas with a preparedness message, we can help those to enable those who may not have the same resources as others. So it helps create sustainability and recovery for all people in our community. VISTA, as a VISTA member, she had to do a lot of training for us here at the City Kirkland. She took all the incident management NIMS classes. She became a CERT. She's taken the CERT class. She's taken targeted volunteer management classes. She's done some different cultural classes. And she's done training and event planning. Some of the things that she's done specifically in Kirkland is helping to create infrastructure for our programs here in Kirkland. Development programs, volunteer recruitment. Main groups she's been working with are Map Your Neighborhood, CERT, ARES, and Fire Corps. Map Your Neighborhood is that program that connects neighbor to neighbor. She's been helping not do facilitator trainings, but to encourage volunteers to help lead these programs. So that's been Jenny's role. insert. She's helped with volunteers to sustain a group and develop a program that we can keep CERT classes going. And conveniently, we had a group of community volunteers that at the same time as we got Jenny said, hey, we really want to take on this role. And they've been really spearheading a bunch of stuff. Amateur radio system, the ARIES, they've actually been part of our emergency management and fire department for quite some time right now, and part of Jenny's focus was to help more recruitment and to encourage more people to become part of ARIES. Fire Corps is our new emergency management volunteer group. They support both the fire department and emergency management doing a variety of activities. And she's been helping Captain Bill Hoover, who's managing that program, by helping to create a whole system of how do you bring volunteers in and that sustainability. So we've been doing outreach events. This group with Jenny's getting people involved, they've done the Taste of Retirement, outreaching specifically to senior citizen population, Juanita Bay Friday Market, helping to distribute preparedness information. We still are completing by the end of August some information with HopeLink, trying to outreach specific supplies and preparedness supplies to our low-income senior citizens. Volunteers in Action, Evergreen Hospital, does a disaster prayer, disaster fair every year, and Jenny helped coordinate that we had all of the of our activity groups there. Accomplishment, we have nearly 25 new deeply vested volunteers. There's a core group of volunteers of about 10 people that are helping to create sustainability. And all of these volunteers in the last year have served accumulatively about 1,400 hours for the city. So we wanted tonight to thank Jenny for her service, for her year of service with us. She's done an outstanding job, and we really appreciate all the work that she's done. She's great fun to work with, and I know has talked with many of you also. And we want to thank the volunteers that have stepped forward to be part of this program and to help us to continue. And right now, we have volunteers in the audience that have been working with these programs. So if you're here and have volunteered, stand up so we can show the council how many. And small handful of the number of people that have been being involved in emergency management and the wanting to help prepare the community for disasters, and it's been a great program for us. So at this time, Madam Mayor.
That's great.
Thank you.
Is this the one? So this is a certificate of appreciation, and it is awarded to you, Jennifer Marker.
Thank you.
This certificate is presented in recognition of your outstanding year of service to the citizens of the city of Kirkland. Your efforts have encouraged volunteerism and helped to create a resilient community. And it's awarded the 7th day of August, 2012. Thank you so much for your service.
Yes, if that's okay.
Well, good evening to those here and those who are on the television, wherever that is filming from. Hi. This position was amazing. I gained skills that I wouldn't otherwise be able to have without working with the people here within the fire department, within the police department, within public works. Ray, thanks for the bus passes to get here. I appreciate that. With all of these wonderful volunteers who will be here long after I'm gone. But Helen has worked very hard and been able to have me be able to finish my year of service here, and I've greatly appreciated it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And if you would just go through the line here and shake everyone's hand, we're so grateful.
Good.
Jenny, good. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yes. Looky here. Well, I didn't see flowers on the agenda, but that's a very nice addition. Thank you very much. We will move on now to item number 7B. This is Cascade Water Alliance. Mr. City Manager, for introductions.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor and members of the Council. So, as you know, in September, we're going to be taking up our utility rates, and one of those is our water rate. And the single largest component of our water rate is the rate we're charged by the Cascade Water Alliance. And so that is not actually our rate, but it's set by the group. So here to walk you through a little bit of background on what that rate will be coming up to in September is Chuck Clark, the Chief Executive Officer of Cascade Water Alliance. And he'll make a brief presentation.
Thank you, Kurt, Mayor, and Council members. I will try to go through this and just highlight some of the issues. Just so you know, we're in the process of adopting rates for 13 and 14. The 14 rate is will not be finalized till a year from now, but we have moved to a biennial process over the last couple years to try to align ourselves with the cities. The question comes up every time we go through this over, so why is this a benefit to me for still being part of Cascade? Cascade's now about 13 years old, and so for most jurisdictions, when they joined Cascade in the beginning, it was really for three things, which continue today. One was to assure long-term water supply. There was concern on the east side, particularly, that there wouldn't be water supply in the future, in 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years, and that for the needs of their citizens and for economic development, they wanted to assure some self-determination and be able to make choices over their water supply in the future. And right now, Cascade's in a situation, and therefore you're in the situation of having water really for the next 100 years without much risk. Compared to most places in the country, that is a benefit that I think will play itself out over time, both for your citizens, but also as you push for the economic vitality and the economic development of your community. It is one of those essential services that's necessary. Second, it is part of a regional partnership. You know, we are a regional municipal corporation. We're the first one under the new state statute that authorized regional municipal corporations, and it really is a regional decision-making process. There's a lot of talk about regionalism, but this is really a regional organization run by its members, and that continues today, just like it did in the past. And finally, one of the reasons that Cascade was originally set up is people were very concerned about Seattle and about Seattle making decisions for the east side's water. I happened to work for Seattle for about 10 years, and so I heard a lot about the lack of sharing that decision-making authority. And that was the reason that Cascade was established originally, and it continues today. There are three other reasons that I think have evolved over time that make membership in Cascade important for the people who started it. One is we really are organized in a different way where we are maximizing our options for water supply, in essence creating, if you invest in the market, it's portfolio management. It's minimizing risk in the future, having more certainty about water supply. Secondly, it's trying to maximize and optimize impacts on rates. And so we have choices that we can make at Cascade that we couldn't make if you were individual members purchasing your water from somebody else. And secondly, when I look at water rates for 12, 13, and 14, Seattle's rates are going up about 27 or 28% for those 3 years. Tacoma's rates are going up 32% for 12, 13, and 14, and Cascade's are going up slightly less than 14%. Partly it's because of the way we've been able to mix and match our supplies and the contracts that we're under. So it is an economic advantage as we look to the near future related to rates. And then finally, there is the one downside of not being a member of Cascade, which Kirkland, to get out of Cascade, when they signed in, they agreed to be part of Cascade to get out, would be significant cost to the community, probably somewhere in the range of $70 to $100 million for Kirkland. For Bellevue, it would be over $200 million because as decisions were made, Lake Taps was purchased and others, those financial commitments continue today. So those are really the reasons for being part of Cascade. I'll get to the bottom line first, and then I'm going to hit a couple slides. Our rate increase for 2013, Cascade's rate increase, is about 3.75%. For Kirkland, where Cascade's costs represent about half of your costs, you can pretty much cut that in half. You're going to be somewhere in the 2% range for the impact on the ratepayer when you look at 2013. When you look at 14, it's higher for Kirkland. It's about 7%, a little roughly. But part of that is because there is an adjustment being made to clean up an issue that was established when Cascade was set up called a new water rate that has finally gone away. And that adjustment always made it difficult to figure out kind of how much people own, because you had to make all these adjustments for based on actual water use, and so the rates will be cleaned up. But at the end of the day, we've been able to get and maintain those rates even though our cost of water is increasing, because we've been able to go back and cut internal costs, operating costs, administrative costs, and conservation costs. If you look at just kind of a summary, our wholesale water costs for from between 12 and 13 are up about 7.5%. Debt service is going to go up about 20%. We go to the market one more time, but remaining expenditures are down 7.5%. So those are primarily conservation, administrative, and operational costs for owning and operating lake taps. We're assuming right now a budget, a bond issue of somewhere between $32 and $52 million, primarily for three reasons. Our CFC credits, which was a program that was originally established under Cascade to give members who brought water of their own to Cascade, they didn't have to pay all the connection charges. They got benefits back for that. We have purchased that that charge is currently $6,000. We have purchased all those back for $2,500, and it is a net benefit to all our members as rates. It's been able to hold rates down when we go out and get those back. We're also renegotiating agreements with Tacoma, Seattle, and potentially Covington. And the reason that's important for you, when I show you rates later on a later slide, our rates, if we stay under the old plan of going and building lake taps, it's for roughly 3.75 and 13, 4% and 14, then it ramps up fairly radically. If we're able to renegotiate, and it looks fairly positive right now, our rates look to be about in the 4% range through the mid-2020s. It gives us a rate stability profile that is very strong compared to any place else in the region, and will continue to give benefits to all the Cascade members. And then we will be doing some improvements to the operation of lake taps since we own it. I think the biggest challenge we're having is really the third bullet here, which is assumptions on growth for Cascade as a whole. We used to have about 3,000 to 5,000 new connections a year. We're running about 800 to 900 now. Most of the budget assumptions for Cascade were based on a number up around the 2,000 or 3,000 connections a year. So we really had to cut a lot of our costs to be able to maintain rates in a reasonable way, because none of the original assumptions for revenues are coming in the way that they were anticipated. The big drivers, if you look at our budget as a whole on the reduction side, you'll see we have a new contractor actually operating lake taps. It was PSE. We've now gone to the market on bid. Veolia is now operating it and has been for about 6 months. Our estimate is going to save us about $700,000 or $800,000 a year with the change in contractors. They are very efficient and doing a very good job. We're making significant cuts and reorientation of the conservation program. Water demand continues to drop radically in the region. It's dropped since the early 90s. It continues to drop. We're reorienting it towards peak use, not a general conservation program, and we're able to reduce our budget because of that. And you can see the major increases are wholesale water costs. That's Tacoma and Seattle and the costs that we're paying them. The transfer is a technical issue internally for us. It's a cost driver in some ways, but it's moving legal costs from capital, which is where we were purchasing a lot of our property, to operating. if you look at where the changes are in the budget, the next slide is probably better for that. It shows the drivers for rate increases. New debt services drives us up about 3.7%. Our increased water contract charges drives up about 3.5%. And then you see the offsets. We're using an operating fund balance that we continue to use for rate smoothing. Because of buying back all those credits, we're getting more revenue as Cascade as a whole than we were before, and we cut additional operating expenses. So you see it nets out at about 3.75. Again, this is a tentative rate right now, but it's the last rate as of about a week and a half ago, and it looks to be pretty solid at this point. This is under the old traditional rate scenario. We did 6% in 2012, then you see 3.754, and then we start ramping up. But that's for assuming build-out for Lake Taps. With the negotiations going on now, 15, 16, and 17 are going to be more in the probably 3.5% to 4.25%. And again, that's going to continue into the early 2020s. So it puts us in a good place for rates going forward. Just to give you a feel at those assumptions on growth and connections, you look down at the bottom at the red bar all the way across. You can see back in 2004 and 5 and 6 when Cascade was out, scared that they were going to run out of water, they had 3,000 connections, 5,000 connections, 2,700 connections. You look at 2012, you know, our best assumption now is about 909 connections for the year. Radical shift. And if you think $6,000 per connection, that's a fairly significant revenue change since Cascade was originally set up. This again shows the rate impacts on Kirkland for both 13 and 14, and the changes from 12 to 13, the changes from 13 to 14. 13 to 14, we have run those numbers because we do it biannually, but I would not. I think those will change significantly by the time a year from now when we come back again, and we'll just have to wait and see what they look like. But you'll see, for after we've made adjustments, your rate change from 12 to 13 is about 3.5%, and again, that's about half of your budget, so it's going to be somewhere more in the 2% range per Kirkland. And that's it.
We have time for just maybe one or two questions. Yes, sir?
Thank you. Good to see you, Chuck. Got a question, and I had this one the last time you were here about the surplus water.
Mm-hmm.
And has there been any opportunity to find a home for some of that or raise some revenue?
Well,
and I guess more importantly, what's the excess gallonage now?
Well, it's a lot. Without doing Lake Taps, I mean, the contracts we currently have, we're purchasing about 35.3 million gallons a day on average for the year. Hmm. Last year we used 25 million gallons. The year before we used 24.5. This year my best estimate would be somewhere around 25.5. So we're significantly lower now. Part of that, it's hard to weather adjust, as you well know, since it was supposed to be nice this afternoon, and it's not. This is pretty typical of what's happened the last three summers. Whether those are typical summer patterns or not, it's hard to tell. But after two or three years of weather like that, demand typically doesn't go back. So I would assume that we're going to continue to have a significant surplus over the water we purchased. We are in the process in our negotiations with Tacoma of reaching an agreement, and it looks good right at the moment. But if we can continue down that path where we're jointly going to go out and sell some of the water we purchased from Tacoma to jurisdictions in Pierce County, and so it would be a joint approach with us and Tacoma both. But until we reach that agreement, we don't. And since we're negotiating with them, and the same with Seattle, if we can reach a restructuring of the agreement with Seattle, then there's no need for us to go out and sell that surplus water because it'll give us more flexibility. If we don't, however, we have had cities that are both in the Tacoma service area and the Seattle service area coming to us asking if we have any interest in selling them water. And if we can't reach an agreement on restructuring, we will do that. So,
And that should help our rates, hopefully?
Yes, it will, okay. In both instances. And, in fact, those rates I showed you, even when we went to 4%, I assume no new water revenue from selling, because I don't want to overestimate what that is.
I understand. Keep at it, please.
Thank you very much for coming tonight. We appreciate it. We may have some more questions a little bit later because you've given us a lot to chew on, but thank you so much.
Thank you.
We do appreciate it. Next, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. And before I ask for a motion, I'd like to call on Councilmember Wallen for an audit of the accounts, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We had payroll in the amount of $2,448,242.70 and bills in the amount of $3,675,770.57.
Thank you very much. May I have a motion to approve the consent calendar, please?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Wallen, seconded by Councilmember Asher. Are there any questions, comments, or corrections? If not, all those in favor of the consent calendar, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And it carries unanimously. Thank you very much. We'll move on to item number 9, public hearings. But there are none tonight. So we'll move on to item number 10. This is 10A, the Cross Kirkland Corridor Program Approval and Authorization of Funding. City Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the Council. So you have a fairly momentous decision in front of you, which is to decide whether or not to authorize us to remove the rails on the Cross Kirkland Corridor. And both the staff recommendation and, as you heard earlier, the Transportation Commission recommendation is that you do allow us to do that. But we want to give you a presentation background as to how we reached that conclusion. And so Dave Godfrey is going to walk you through that.
And did you said that was a brief presentation, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
In conclusion...
Well done, as usual.
Are we ready for the motion?
Yeah.
Yes.
So moved.
And you are moving to approve the
staff recommendation?
I am.
And it's been moved by Councilmember Sternoff and seconded by Councilmember, Councilmember Wallen. Are there questions, concerns, comments for Mr. Godfrey?
Yes. Was there anything you were going to tell us in the presentation that wasn't in the packet?
Well, I do have one quick thing that I would like to show you. I'll get here this way.
I do want to see the pictures. Well, he's flipping through them.
Yeah. So you remember this chart probably, for similar charts in your memo. And the green area up above is funding that's secured. And then red there, you see the funding that you just approved here. And then in the orange is grant funding that we're currently looking for, and this one is the state ped bike grant. We're also looking for a community economic revitalization board grant for the same amount. The local value is $100,000 and $400,000 in grant money. So we're hopeful we'll get one of those. And I just wanted to remind you that in the event that we weren't successful in getting that there would be an extra $327,000 there needed from some sort of local funds in order to complete the project.
And Madam Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I just say the only other side I'd like maybe him to show is just the timeline, because when people hear that if you've made this decision that you've made, I just want them to understand when we actually expect things will happen and they'll be completed.
Okay.
Yeah, that's here. We're going to begin work on both the rail removal and the trail, you know, kind of the planning stages right away. And then the rails would come out, say, early to mid next year, when time trail construction would begin. And then our grant funding really requires that we're finished by 2014, end of. And you can see here we're trying to get done a little earlier.
Excellent. Questions, comments? Yes, ma'am?
I just want to say we didn't need this report because you did such a fabulous job on the information that we got.
Well.
Also, thank you so much to the Transportation Commission. This must have been an awful lot of fun because you guys did such a terrific job, so thank you.
Yeah, thanks to a lot of folks back here who helped.
So, yes, sir?
Just one more question. So we did receive the letter from the City of Snohomish and also today one from the Cascadia, whatever.
Discovery.
No, whatever it was. Okay. From Cascadia. Mm-hmm. And do those need to be responded to, and do you need authorization from the council to respond on behalf of the council, or can you just respond on behalf of the city yourself?
I think we can certainly respond. As I said in an email, I did speak about 45 minutes to the mayor of the town of Snohomish and walked her through all of the reasons why. I mean, in the end, she thought our decision was rational. She said she'd still appreciate if we didn't move ahead with taking out the rails, but she understood it. And most importantly, she appreciated that the vision of the city is dual use and that we are not precluding there being a track through Kirkland, but that at this time, for the maximum benefit of our citizens and because of the grant funding, we need to proceed with this. So, but I can certainly draft a response on behalf of the city of Kirkland, I think.
For both?
For both.
Okay, thank you.
So the motion is to approve the Cross Kirkland Corridor Program and authorize funding for the rail removal and interim trail development. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And thank you very much for your amazing presentation. But I just want to say for those who might be listening, you know, watching this on TV, that this really wasn't done quickly. We've been talking about this and working shoulder to shoulder with our Transportation Commission, with, I see, the Houghton Community Council out there has had a lot of comments about this, and with neighbors across the city on this. So this is this is not done quickly or rashly, and we are very excited. So thank you very much.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Just one more thing. Can we get the slides put on the external website so that people watching will be able to see them?
Sure.
Thank you. Great idea. Mm-hmm. So we will move on now to item number 10B. This is ordinance number 4366 relating to downtown employee parking fines and amending Chapter 12.45 of the Kirkland Municipal Code. Do we need a presentation on this?
No.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to move, I believe it's ordinance 4366.
Second.
And it's a publication summary.
It's been moved by Councilmember Asher and seconded by Councilmember Sweet. Are there any discussion? Mr. City Manager, was there something you would like to add to this discussion? Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to make a comment that this, we've been sort of wrangling over parking since I've been on the council, and I really appreciate this.
It predates you.
Well, it's,
whoa.
You know, I know. Anyway, the conversation goes on, but it's been, we have the technology, and thanks for coming up with a practical solution to use it. And I wanted to share a little anecdote that I work with a lady, and her daughter worked at Bellevue Square, and she was parking in the customer area, and she got a nice note the first time that says, we noticed you're repeatedly parking here. Maybe you work here. If you do, you can't park here. Go to the employee parking. And then the next time she got a ticket. So I have anecdotal evidence that this sort of system works, and I'm really excited to see it work for us. So thank you very much.
Thank you. So it has been moved and seconded. The question is on the motion to approve ordinance number 4366. Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon?
Aye.
Deputy Mayor Marchione?
Yes.
Thank you very much, and thank you for those awesome presentations, Mr. Godfrey. Next, we'll move on to item number 11. This is 11A of new business. This is ordinance number 4367 and its summary relating to the flood damage prevention and amending Chapter 21.56 of the Kirkland Municipal Code. Yes, sir.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move ordinance 4367 and its publication summary.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilmember Asher. It's been seconded by Councilmember Sternoff. Discussion, comments, or questions? If not, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Marchione?
Yes.
Once again, I'd like to compliment the staff on an excellent, excellent memo. Next, we are going to move on to item number 11B. This is ordinance number 4368. authorizing providing for the acquisition of interest in land for the purpose of construction of the Northeast 120th Street Roadway Extension Project within the City of Kirkland, providing for the cost of the property acquisition and authorizing the initiation of appropriate eminent domain proceedings in the manner provided by law. City Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Councilmember. So we do have a brief presentation on this because we are seeking your authority to propose condemnation in eminent domain for this project. As always, this would be a last resort. It is not something that we want to use, but we want to briefly explain to you why we think it's necessary in this case. So David Snyder, our capital projects manager, is here to make the brief presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, City Manager, and good evening, Madam Mayor and Council. I am Dave Snyder, the Capital Projects Manager, to give you some information on the Northeast 120th Street Roadway Extension Project. And just to orient everyone, the project is the extension of Northeast 120th Street between Slater and 124th Avenue. And it would connect with multimodal access, the area here with Lake Washington Institute of Technology and some multifamily housing, and areas to the east and south with the business centers of Totem Lake. And you can see the Totem Lake area, the hospital, Totem Lake Mall right there. Zooming in a little bit, I would like to inform council that in 2007, the city purchased the light green area as future right-of-way, so we've owned that since 2007, and the orange area is also owned by the city as a permanent easement. We have recently acquired the acquisition of the property on the corner, and we're very close to acquiring the property here, and we are continuing to negotiate with the Frontier parcel and the Infinity parcel. The process for public acquisition, you start with a facility or project that has gone through a capital program. It's a viable project with funding in place, and in this case we have grants to the tune of $3.3 million for this project. We went into design and to assess the property impacts. From there, we conducted right-of-way appraisals and review appraisals. Determinations of value were made, and offers were made to the property owners. And as of today, as I mentioned previously, we have acquired basically two of the four parcels. We are continuing to negotiate with the two other parcels. Whoops. So, picking up from the previous slide, tonight on the agenda is a request to approve the ordinance for condemnation. And the key point that I want to make here is that what that does is it just allows us to go to the court and get on their docket to file a petition with the Superior Court, which takes 6 to 8 months to get actually to the court. There's 3 to 4 months up front for the paperwork and to notify the property owners. And after 3 to 4 months, we would have our first court appearance to determine the necessity and also the possession and use of that. But again, the key point being that through this whole process, negotiations continue. And so just to wrap it up, we have a multimodal project that meets with the community vision for Totem Lake. We have grants that we acquired in 2011. I want to emphasize that eminent domain is not an adversarial process. Fair and equitable compensation will be made, but eminent domain can be a key to helping us reach the finish line by establishing a time. And with the grants, time is of the essence because we'd like to build the projects before
Thank you very much. First, I'd like to ask for a motion to approve ordinance number 4368, please.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Sweet, seconded by Deputy Mayor Marcioni. Are there questions or comments for? Yes, sir.
Thank you for the short, concise report, Dave. I'm not a big fan of eminent domain. I don't think anybody really is, because it does throw a different component into the mix. And I'm curious if there's something that we can do as a city to make it a little bit more palatable, and maybe the zoning, maybe it's making the folks more whole for the property that they're losing. And it's not just money. Sometimes it's truly use and the ability to use it. And I'd like to explore that, or make that one of the tools. That is a vital area for us. It is an economic generator. And I just want to make sure that we're using every possible means we have. And that may mean coming back to council for something as well. But I think that has to be in the toolbox, so as part of this, and made known, so that we fully understand, the owner of the property fully understands that, you know, they got an idea, bring it to us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ms. Vaughn?
Yeah, I share Mr. Sternoff's concerns. I hate those words, but I do think that we have to keep our eye on the prize that we have said as a council. We're going to focus on Totem Lake, and we need infrastructure, and this has been – I actually met with the property owner, and one of them, and I know that they were aware that this was coming, but sort of now it's down to the nitty-gritty, and I really did appreciate all of the detail that you gave us in the memo about, you know, what we've done and the steps we've taken, and so those are great, and hopefully this will give certainty to us and to him, to them, that, you know, there's a timeline, and we need to get going, and we need to do the two appraisals and meet in the middle, or however that works. So as long as I know that we're going to keep working hard to negotiate and to be reasonable and to give fair compensation, then I'm okay.
Thank you, Mr. Asher.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I can't support this proposal. I think we're using eminent domain as a negotiating tool, and I think it's an unfair negotiating tool. I don't believe we're following our own procedures. And when we passed Resolution 4908, I believe it was back in January, we said that if a settlement cannot be reached within these guidelines, that alternatives, including condemnation, will be discussed and considered by the City Council. I don't think that we've come to an impasse at this point. I don't think our procedures give us a way of establishing a timeline with a prospective property owner. And you say it's not an adversarial procedure. It's not an adversarial procedure from your point of view. If you're an individual property owner, and I know we're dealing in one case with Frontier that's got lawyers all over the place, but if we do this procedure for everyone, no matter what kind of standing you have or how big your corporate pocketbook is, and I just think that it's patently unfair. I've suggested a couple of recommendations to change our procedures to the city manager. Maybe we can entertain that, and I could feel that we, in fact, are being more fair with the individual property owner. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wee.
I guess I don't agree that this is not a good tool to use, and I happen to agree that it is not necessarily an adversarial process. It is simply a tool in the toolbox, and what I understand is this will come back to us for more discussion before we ever move forward with it. This just lines us up so that we have the ability to move forward with it if it gets to that extreme. Am I wrong in that assumption?
No. No, it basically gets us in line, but
exactly.
The whole time we will continue to negotiate. Yeah.
Any other questions, comments?
No.
No. Everybody gets one pass
okay. Tonight,
if that's okay, Council.
Mm-hmm.
If not, the question is on the motion to approve ordinance number 4368. Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Councilmember Sternoff?
No.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
No.
Councilmember Nixon?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Marchione.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, Mayor. Yes, ma'am?
I'd like to then move that we authorize the city manager to sign the WSDOT conformance agreement that was not listed after the resolution. Am I looking at the wrong one? No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong item, I think.
Oh, okay.
Never mind.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Wallen, did you have a comment about this that you wanted to?
No.
Because we've got the vote done now.
Yep.
Thank you. Next, we will move on to item number 11C. This is the 2012 Miscellaneous Zoning and Municipal Code Amendments. City Manager, just a question, and Council, did you have one presentation, then we would consider all four ordinances, or how did you?
Right. The way Joan Lieberman-Brill will be making the presentation, what we have is there's a slide for each ordinance to tell you sort of essentially the highlights of what's in it.
And that's one slide each ordinance.
Okay. I hope so. Some of them might be a little more than one, but but yeah, so the master presentation covers all the following ordinances. Also, I want to point out there's two small amendments that will come up through the presentation on numbers 2 and number 3.
Okay. So, Joan, would you – so maybe we would just go after each presentation, each slide will entertain – motions and discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of the Council. I'm Joan Lieberman-Brill, and I'm going to discuss the miscellaneous zoning and municipal code amendments for 2012. This evening, Planning Commission Chair Mike Miller is here to answer questions, and he may wish to address the Council at the end of the staff presentation. Regarding Ordinance 4369, personal wireless service facilities, the amendments would allow legal non-conforming facilities to be upgraded. And this is in response to the AT&T operator making it known that they needed more flexibility in replacing or adding antennas to existing non-conforming wireless facilities.
Okay, thank you. Council, this is Ordinance Number 4369 and its summary relating to zoning, planning, and land use and amending Chapter 117, personal wireless service facilities of the Kirkland Zoning Code 3719 as amended and approving a summary ordinance for publication file number ZON 1200002.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Moved by Mr. Asher, seconded by Mr. Sternoff. Comments, questions, concerns? Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Marchione?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll move on to 11C, number 2.
Okay, this is the Ordinance 4370, and it addresses animals in residential zones, specifically fowl and horses.
Specifically fowl.
And so fowl includes chickens, and you see there in an illustration, you can kind of make out a rooster in the chicken tractor that we talk about in the report. But anyway, this new...
Do we allow
roosters? It's a rooster, but we don't allow those roosters.
Well, on lots greater than 35,000 square feet, this amendment would continue to allow those in all areas of the city. In addition to that, the last bullet under fowl would allow in the JFK neighborhoods pre-existing roosters to remain.
Do we have a name of those? Each of those pre-existing roosters?
No.
No, okay.
We did start out with very prescriptive specifications on all of the different aspects of keeping fowl, but ended up with less prescriptive regulations. Up to 3 fowl, including chickens, are allowed on any lot in Kirkland. More are allowed on lots larger than 5,000 square feet with a maximum of 20. More than 20 are allowed on lots greater than 35,000 square feet, as they now are. And roosters, as I said, are going to continue to be allowed throughout the city on lots greater than 35,000 square feet. Regarding these new regulations, we will need to say, and this will be included in information addressing this new regulation that we'll be doing through public outreach, that homeowners associations, they may have rules that are more stringent or restrictive regarding foul, and the city does not enforce upon private covenants. However, the homeowner is responsible to check with their homeowners association and make sure that before they commit to having backyard foul, they are in compliance with their own rules. Regarding horses, it remains as it always has been. We had the support of the equestrian community through development of these reformatted regulations. The only additional thing is that on lots greater than 35,000 square feet, we can, through a process, allow up to two horses.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve Ordinance 4369, Mr. Asher?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to move Ordinance 4370, I believe it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct.
And its publication summary relating to zoning, planning, and land use.
Second.
It's been moved by Mr. Asher and seconded by Deputy Mayor Marchione. Comments, questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, a lot of correspondence on roosters. And I guess my question is, on any of this, how are we going to enforce if there is a nuisance? Is there...
What we have seen in the past is that we have resolved these things through voluntary compliance. We're going to rely on some of the supporters of backyard agriculture. We have a spokesperson in the audience that spoke mm-hmm. before you to help us educate those that have roosters, and if we encounter complaints, we will try to educate the person, and that will be our first line of response.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
But ultimately, if they were uncooperative, I mean, the process would be that a neighbor would likely end up making a complaint through the code enforcement officer.
That's correct.
And then it
Animal
could end
control.
Up as before the hearing examiner with penalties, et cetera.
Ultimately, we have not encountered any problems up to this point with roosters, and they've been allowed in the city since the 80s, I believe.
Okay. Thank you.
The question is on the motion to approve Ordinance Number 4370 in its summary relating to zoning, planning, and land use and amending the Kirkland Zoning Ordinance relating to animals. Thank you very much. Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Sternoff.
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen.
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet.
Yes.
Mayor McBride.
Yes.
Councilmember Asher.
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon.
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Marchione.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Next, we will move on to item number 11C, number 3.
Okay, this is Ordinance 4371 regarding hazardous liquid pipelines. As you know, with the annexation, we now have within our boundaries the pipeline, the Olympic British Petroleum pipeline, and it also runs adjoining the Bridal View subdivision down in the Bridal Trails neighborhood of Kirkland. This map shows the dashed line, purple dashed line over on the right, the location, the approximate location of the corridor. And it will regulate land use within 150 feet of the Olympic pipeline corridor. It would venture to reduce the risk of an accident caused during construction and reduce the risk to various land uses located near the pipeline. We have a revised ordinance in front of you that answers the comment by Council Member Nixon who suggests that our general regulation that we put forward for Totem Lake 7 zone to acknowledge the presence of the pipeline and ask that the user of the code refer to this new chapter regulating pipelines, do so in all of the zones which it is located near or in.
Thank you.
So that's in front of you.
Just to clarify, that's not an alternative ordinance. It's an alternative attachment.
Yes.
We
got it down. We think we know what we're supposed to do at this time.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move Ordinance 4371 in its publication summary relating to zoning, planning, and land use.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Asher, seconded by Councilmember Nixon.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move to amend the ordinance to replace Attachment A with the alternative Attachment A that has been made available to us.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Nixon and seconded by Councilmember Sternoff to amend the motion to include an alternative Attachment Number A. Is there any comment? This is a voice.
Just a question.
Okay.
Will this amendment be posted with the packet online? Will we get it so that the packet has the correct thing when we look back historically?
Yes.
We'll make a note.
Thank you.
Mr. Nixon, did you have a comment?
Well, I was going to speak to it, but I think the staff has already spoken to it, that I think it makes sense that we refer to these new pipeline development regulations in all of the zones where it applies.
Okay, we'll have a voice vote on the amendment, please. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? And the motion carries. Now we will go on to the ordinance as amended. This is ordinance number 4371 and its summary. Madam Clerk, the roll, please.
Councilmember Sternoff?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Marciani?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Now we'll move on to item number 11C, number 4.
Okay, this is the rest of the various amendments to the Kirkland Zoning Code or the Municipal Code, and they are done to clarify, correct, or revise existing regulations. And the significant issues are and were the floor area ratio exemptions for stairwells, setbacks for second story garages, electronic reader boards, and nonconforming density. And
Thank
regarding
you.
Nonconforming density, I have a special slide.
Okay.
For nonconforming density, the proposed amendments do eliminate the limitation that's currently on the cost of remodeling, repairing, or altering without bringing the nonconformance density into conformance. But interest has also been shown to amend the prohibition on changing the configuration of the exterior walls. So the council does have several options that are shown there: adopt the ordinance as written, or pull the amendment from the ordinance and direct that staff develop options for consideration at a future council meeting.
Thank you. So first I'd like to ask for a motion for ordinance number 4372.
Mayor, we have one more slide on the... Well, no, no, good, never...
We're good.
So moved. I move ordinance 4372.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Councilmember Asher and seconded by Councilmember Nixon. Ms. Wallen?
Madam Mayor, I move to amend ordinance 4372 by deleting Section S of Attachment A, proposed language for nonconforming density, on e-pages 538 and 539, and ask that the staff develop options to return to a future council meeting.
Second.
Okay, it's been, this amendment has been moved by Councilmember Wallen, seconded by Councilmember Sweet. Discussion. Yes, Ms. Marcioni?
I just want to state that we did look at this at the Housing Committee this afternoon and agree with the amendment to pull the amendment from the ordinance.
Okay. Other comments? Yes, ma'am?
I think that this particular ordinance has a powerful impact on our Lakeview community. We need to make sure we think it through. We need to make sure we all understand it before we take final action, and I think we need a little bit more time to do that.
So this amendment, it would be a voice vote. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, and that amendment carries.
Can I ask one question?
Yes, sir.
When do we expect this will come back to us?
Well, let's ask Mr. Shields.
We'll be prepared first meeting in September, if you'd like.
Second.
Second meeting. Much better.
Yep.
I'd like to be here.
I would, too.
Very good.
So let's aim for the second meeting. Now we'll go back to the ordinance. The questions on the motion to approve as amended ordinance number 4372 in its summary relating to zoning, planning, land use, and amending various chapters of the zoning ordinance or zoning code. Madam Clerk? Oh, right. We do need some discussion. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
So I just want to make it or to clarify for my own benefit and others that even though the packet had a lot of discussion in it about residential suites, the SROs, that does not appear in the ordinance anywhere, and that we are accepting the Planning Commission's recommendation and the staff recommendation to defer that item for a couple of months for further work in the Planning Commission. Is that correct?
Yes, and if we could put up the next slide, that was what I was going to speak to. So if I may, just go ahead and go on to this right now. As you know, the Planning Commission has recommended that additional time be provided for public involvement on this. So we did have a couple of options here because it would not be really appropriate to add this back into the ordinance at this time. There are a couple of options. And so either you can act on the motion on the table and come back to this, or I can go over this at this moment, whichever you'd like.
Oh, let's act on the ordinance that's before us, Council. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Sternock?
Yes.
Councilmember Wallen?
Yes.
Councilmember Sweet?
Yes.
Mayor McBride?
Yes.
Councilmember Asher?
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Marcioni?
Yes.
So, Council, are we comfortable with it would be option number one? Is that
right?
Yes. Okay. So, head nods are completely mm-hmm. around, and I know that the city clerk can capture head nods.
Yes.
And one of the questions in option number one is the date at which you would like the commission to report back on this.
Well, I guess when they're done.
Okay. Well, let's not make a career of it.
Yeah.
So there's no...
Soon? Within 2 months, maybe?
2 months is...
How about Mr. Miller would like to say just a couple of words?
Madam Mayor, Council Members, Mike Miller, current chair of the Planning Commission. We had quite a bit of discussion about SROs. Our concern had to do with public input into it because it came in late in our packet. And in talking to Eric and the rest of the Planning Commission, we feel that we should be able to get back to you in October with the recommendation. So we're going to move this along as fast as we can, get the public hearing, have some other deliberations. We actually have an ordinance. The staff has drafted an ordinance. We've had a lot of discussion. We just want to get a little bit more public input into it to make sure that if this goes forward, that it's going to be a successful project.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks. Are we good? Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, and thanks the Planning Commission for all the work on these ordinances. So does that help with the answer to the question that we'll see this fairly soon?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. With that, we'll move on to, and thank you all for so much help. Thank you, Joan, and we really appreciate it. We'll move on to item number 12. This is reports, 12A, City Council. Yes, sir.
Very quickly, Councilmember Nixon and myself went on a cruise last week with the Port of Seattle. There were, 27 cities, I believe, represented?
It was a big group of people.
It was a big group of people, some Congress folks, staff and all. And I am still interested, and I hope the council is, in having the Port of Seattle come and give us a presentation on their century agenda. Very interesting. They're definitely going for the outreach, as I've mentioned before, and... So hopefully we can get that scheduled at some point. I know they'd love to come.
Thank you. Ms. Wallen?
Nothing to report.
Thank you. Ms. Sweet?
Just a couple things. I want to report on a tour that Amy arranged for a number of us to take at Lake Washington Institute of Technology. That place continues to impress me. It is absolutely a a fantastic organization, and what they are doing in terms of turning out the technical education of these students is amazing. We had a Cascade Water Alliance meeting this year. We had further rates discussion. I'm sure we will have a whole lot more of this before we are through. Along with the mayor, I attended my first PSRC meeting. It was a pretty amazing experience what that group has been able to accomplish over the years. And finally, I did a presentation to the Business Operations Management Association last week about Totem Lake, and they are as excited as we are about kind of picking up things and putting them in motion at Totem Lake.
Thank you very much. Mr. Asher?
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Mr. Nixon?
Nothing tonight.
Ms. Marcioni?
Just a couple of quick items. One is I did attend the committee to end homelessness, and we received reports on the new, one-stop shopping for families. It's got a lot of positives going, but it still has a number of what I consider are glitches, and people are finding that applying for housing, that it's taking up to 3 weeks, and it's not clear what the alternatives are for those families in those 3 weeks. So hopefully this will move forward. Secondly, in response to an email from Mr. Nixon today, Marilyn Mason Plunkett from HopeLink's also been reporting to me, so people are working together on trying to get this transportation issue solved, the Totem Lake. And then my last one is, quickly, some time ago, the council authorized that Mr. Asher come on the housing committee and that we look into committee structure as far as a planning and public works committee, and we went through the process, heard from the planning director in Redmond, and have agreed to go ahead with looking at the committee structure. I would like to propose, and I propose it to the housing committee today, that we ask to be the committee to make a recommendation to the full council about the structure of our committees and where we go, with the intent that each department has a committee that they can at least take something to if needs be, and that we'd bring something back to you probably in October so we have time to discuss it.
Would that be okay, council?
I'd like to not predetermine the intent, so
Just have it. Yeah, that we're looking at the committee structure.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
this has been my soapbox.
Yes, sir.
Is a part of that discussion going to be the cost?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure we're covering what it costs us to go do that.
Good. Okay? Yeah. Good point.
Thank you.
Thank you. Council, I just have one thing tonight. I've passed out something. I know we are trying to move along at a quick clip tonight, but I wanted you to know that WIRA 8 and also Flood Control have the opportunity to make a major acquisition that is awesome. It is a once-in-a-generation acquisition that will put in public ownership a 5-mile reach of the Cedar River on the left bank, and this is 18 acres. It has a lot of issues. This paper talks a little bit about it. I will get more information to you as we go a little bit further, but this is why we participate in flood control and why we participate in salmon recovery. This is a beautiful project, so I hope to bring you more about it at another time. With that, I will move on to item number 12B, City Manager.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just want to see if there's any calendar updates from the City Council members. Okay, and seeing none, I just want to remind you that we are obviously not having the second council meeting in August, but September gets kind of busy. On September 20th, we have our All-City Boards and Commissions Appreciation Dinner at Peter Kirk Park. And then on September 25th, we have our joint meeting with the Everest Neighborhood special meeting. So that's all I have.
Thank you very much. We will now move on to item number 13. This is items from the audience. And I have just seen some people come in, and perhaps our new guests didn't realize that we had a special meeting tonight, and we are almost at adjournment. But we do have, we started at 6. It was a special meeting and was advertised as such. So this is our final items from the audience. It lasts 15 minutes, and it is an additional time in our meeting. We've already had one items from the audience at the beginning of this meeting at 6. And we will take your comments on anything which is not quasi-judicial or otherwise scheduled for public hearing on our agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. We also ask that not more than three people speak on, for, on, or against a particular subject. And this items from the audience period lasts for 15 minutes. So is there anyone in the audience who would like to address the council at this time? Please, one at a time.
My name is Joe Gregg.
Oh, sir, we need you to come up there. And if you've never been up here, there's a little light that tells you when those 3 minutes are up. It starts at green. At yellow, you want to sum up, and at red, you need to...
Okay.
But welcome, sir.
Thank you. We were under impression that the meeting is at 7:30, so we came early. my name is Joe Gregg. I live on the 5th Street, 602 5th Street. And we are concerned about the trees and the sidewalks along our streets on 5th Street and 6th Avenue. The sidewalks are buckling. The city has attempted to put some tar on top of the scrape that they did, which came out worse than it was. And we are just concerned that people walking by are going to injure themselves as they fall, as they go along. And we are all doing that all the time. We are walking back and forth, and we are very concerned about it, and we want the city to do something about it.
Thank you. Could you...
5th Street and 6th Avenue?
Could you give us that street again, please?
602 5th Street, and it's a crossways of 5th Street and 6th Avenue.
Thank you.
Did staff capture that address? Thank you. Thank you, sir, for coming tonight. It's very unusual. We rarely ever have a meeting like this that doesn't start at 7:30. So who would like to come up next and speak? Just identify yourself, sir.
My name is Rob Garner. Thanks for your time. I represent them as their managing agent, 602 5th Street Condominiums. And I'd just like to add that we also had our board president, and we have some pictures that we can share. He found along city streets on Kirkland Way where the sidewalks are being replaced by the city of Kirkland for the exact same situation. The same person that told us the meeting started at 7:30 is the one that told us that it was our responsibility to replace those sidewalks. So just as an FYI, I'd just like to support that. We have documentation to share with you.
It might
you
be guys worth can talking with that. The staff, the Public Works Director.
I'd like to weigh in on that. I'm Ray Steiger, the Public Works Director, and the sidewalks are the responsibility of the adjacent property owners. It's in our city ordinances. We have a longstanding policy of mitigating claims based on that ordinance that has been on the books for a number of years. In response to the issue of degradation of sidewalks, the council a few years ago established a sidewalk replacement program. It's an annual program, and we can and we do prioritize improvements throughout the city. Kirkland Avenue has been an issue for at least 15 years. We have gotten around to that. So the gentleman's concerns are addressed through grinding. The tar is actually it's called Easy Street. We have that on a number of locations, but we will go out there and inspect those sidewalks at this point. So that's hopefully responds to both of those. I appreciate the location.
Can we just get a report back on that?
Council, would you like to...
Because I'd like to see the broader issue, too.
Yes. And did you have some pictures you wanted to leave with us tonight? If you would leave those with staff, we'll be sure and get copies of those as well. So typically, and maybe there's another person who wanted to speak on this issue tonight. Did you have another person who wanted to? Yes, sir. Why don't you speak first, and then we'll just talk a little bit. Yes, sir.
I'm also a resident of 602 5th Street, and we've had several conversations regarding whose responsibility it is if somebody catches their foot in that tarred area and falls down or hurts themselves. Why would it be our responsibility when we didn't even see what the solution to the problem was? And in my opinion, and I'm a ex-shoe man, so I don't know too much about concrete. If one of you ladies were walking and your foot got stuck in between where that is separating, you'd be fall and there'd be some problem. And that's a big concern. We have elderly people living in our condominium. Thank you.
And can I get your name, sir?
Yes, Norman Sadis, S-A-D-I-S.
Thank you. So, gentlemen, we're going to go on in a minute, but if you would leave your names and contact information with Mr. Steiger down there, and then, Council, we take these things very seriously. Council, would you like to hear a little bit more about this issue, get a staff report on this?
Yes.
I don't know if I use my 3 minutes, but I'd also just like to add that I represent several properties in Kirkland. I have for 18 years, and I've got several properties with the same situation, so okay. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you very much. So you'll leave your names and contact information. Thank you very much. And then we'll be able to hear something back from staff. Thank you so much. Is there anyone else here tonight who wishes to address the council?
Thank you.
All you need to do is say your name. And
okay. My name's Kristen Ford, and my address is 12829 Northeast 73rd Street in Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking up about the fact that last weekend when the car show was going on, actually it was a couple of weeks ago, my husband and child and I were driving to lunch on Sunday around 12:30, 1 o'clock, and as we were headed down the intersection of where Trellis and the library sits, there was a van that was coming toward us and then made a right onto Kirkland Avenue on its way downtown. Heavily, heavily traffic area, lots of cars, lots of families, lots of children. And this was a adult, it was called Dream Girls, a Seattle Gentlemen's Club, and it was a moving advertisement billboard van. It had pictures of scantily clad women, and it was extremely inappropriate, in my opinion, for the city of Kirkland's values and our family community, and also for the amount of children and families that were attending this auto show, and just downtown on a beautiful day in Kirkland on a Sunday anyway. So I wanted to bring it to the council's attention. I wasn't sure if anyone else had said anything these past couple of weeks, but thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address the council at this time?
Craig.
Hello, Craig Wartloff. I believe I know several of you. Is it fair to ask? We were told the meeting started at 7:30 as well.
The ordinance.
Is it fair to ask how the conversation went on the Northeast 120th Street extension? Was there a discussion on that?
Yes, there was discussion. Well, we don't usually do this, but since it is an unusual meeting and you thought that we started at 7:30, but we did pass the ordinance. What's it called? What did we pass?
An eminent domain.
Eminent domain. Yeah. We did pass that.
Okay, I guess I would just ask that. We at Frontier, we value public safety, and we've been bargaining in good faith, and we hope to continue to do so. Safety is extremely important for our operation, and we have lots of vehicles that will use the ingress-egress there, so I hope that would be taken into consideration. So if you'd please look at that.
Absolutely, and
I know public safety is high on, everybody's list.
We share that value, okay. And so we want to be sure that you're in very close contact with Ray Steiger.
Okay.
And this is the start of what we hope is building a better relationship, not a adversarial.
Okay. So will we see will we be able to see meeting minutes on
that? Yes. And what I'll do is I'll refer you to staff.
Okay.
And we're sorry that you didn't know that this was a special meeting.
The letters that we got said 7:30 on the 7th. So.
There'll be a video up in about 3 or 4 days.
Will there?
And we will.
Tomorrow.
It'll be up tonight.
Okay.
And if you would like to talk with staff, they will give you a lot of information. And we appreciate you coming tonight.
Thank you.
And reminding us that we share a lot of values around safety.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else tonight who would like to address the council? If not, I will declare this additional items from the audience closed. And we will move on to item number 14. I want to thank Council for this special meeting. Thank staff for all of the work they did to make it happen. Sorry if there was any misunderstandings to the audience. And we are, and thank you, Council, for a lot of work. And we are adjourned.
Good timing.